speak about move onward and move forward. The scripture says in Job 17, verse 9, it says, the righteous shall move onward and forward. The righteous shall move onward and forward. Say, I'm moving onward and I'm moving forward. Those with pure hearts shall become stronger and stronger. Say, I'm getting stronger and stronger. God wants you to move forward, move onward in 2021. How do you do that? Well, let's learn a lesson from Joshua. I want to share something with you. Thank you. In Joshua chapter 1, verse number 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from this wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand or from the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, they had just lost Moses. God said to Joshua, Moses is dead. Everybody lost something this last year. Maybe you lost a friendship, a relationship. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you lost a dream. But it's in this context of loss that God calls Joshua to cross over to what is next, to enter into the promised land. Now, Moses had been an amazing leader. When God called Moses to lead the Israelites out of slavery and in Egypt into the promised land, and God did 10 amazing miracles to deliver the people of Israel, to cause Pharaoh to let them go. And when Pharaoh changed his mind and chased after them, God parted the Red Sea, and they crossed through the Red Sea. When they reached the promised land, they sent 12 spies to go spy out the land, and Joshua was one of those spies. Joshua and Caleb were one of the 12 spies. And when the spies returned from spying out the land, 10 of those spies, they said, yes, it's an amazing land, but we cannot take possession. The people are too strong. The cities are walled. We look like grasshoppers in our own sight. We cannot do it. But Joshua and Caleb said, yes, we can do it. Let's go at once and let's take the land. We are well able to overcome it. The Lord is with us. Don't be afraid. But the people believed the negative report of the 10 spies. It's amazing. It's so much easier to believe the negative than it is to believe God's promises. The Bible says that that they believed the evil report of the 10 spies. The 10 spies said, oh, if only we died in Egypt or even in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land that we would die in battle? Our wives and children will be victims. It's better we should go back to Egypt. They were looking back instead of moving forward in faith. And God got angry with them because they wouldn't believe him. They wouldn't trust him. And he told Moses to tell them that he would do everything that they had said, and that everyone 20 years and older would die in that wilderness and would not enter the promised land except for Joshua and Caleb. And so they ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. What should have been an 11-day journey took them 40 years wandering around the wilderness. They were waiting for all those unbelievers to die in the wilderness and get just what they said. So now Moses has died, and Joshua becomes the leader, and he's about to lead them into the promised land they've been waiting 40 years. And in Joshua chapter 3, it says, Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from an acacia grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they crossed over. And so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp and they commanded the people. They said, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. You shall follow the Ark of the Covenant, and there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits. That's about 3,000 feet. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. They're about to enter into new territory. Just like you and I, we stand on the brinks of a brand new year, and we're about to enter into a place that we've never been before. Isn't that right? And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I want to tell you today, if you will sanctify yourself, God will do wonders for you in 2021. God will do amazing things if you will sanctify yourself. That was what Joshua told them, sanctify yourself. And that's the word the Lord put in my heart to tell you today on this first Sunday as we go into 2021. If you will sanctify yourself, you're going to see God do amazing wonders in 2021. You're going to see God do wondrous things. Can you say amen? Amen. And Joshua spoke to the priests. And he said, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and they went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Gigasites, the Amorites, the Nehites, and the Shuhites. And it says, behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth shall as soon as it rests on the water of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan will be cut off. And the waters that come down from upstream, they shall stand up as a heap. God said, I'm going to divide the Jordan as soon as the priest's feet touch the water. So it was when the people set out from the camp to cross over the Jordan with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows its banks during the time of harvest. It says the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Araba, the salt sea, failed, and they were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. And the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until the people had crossed completely over into the Jordan. And we know what happened. They went in, and the first city they took, the city of Jericho, they marched around the walls of Jericho for 6 days, on the seventh day, seven times. And those walls came, those walls were pushed into the ground. And they took that first city and they went on and conquered, and they did what God had promised that they would do. But I want you to see here that the priests, they had to go before the people, and they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant. What was in the Ark of the Covenant? What did the Ark of the Covenant represent? The Ark of the Covenant was where God's presence was. God's presence was in the Ark of the Covenant. So you could say the presence of God had to go before the people. And family, let me tell you, that's so that their eyes would not be fixed on what they lost, but their eyes would be fixed on where God was leading them in the days to come. And let me tell you, in 2021, the best thing you got to do is you got to follow the Lord. You got to follow God. Put Him first. Follow His plan. That's what it means, following the ark. You're following the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He guides me. You got to determine you're going to follow God this year like never before. You're going to follow God's will and God's plan. See, God is saying to Joshua, you can't get Moses back. Moses is dead. But if you'll fix your eyes forward, that's the word today, onward and forward. Shout it, onward and forward. Shove somebody real softly and say, onward and forward. Even if I got to push you onward and forward, we're going onward and forward. See, you can't stay stuck here. You can't cry over this anymore. The way of faith looks forward. I want you to say something about this year, and I want you to just say it by faith. Just say it, even if you don't know what this year may hold. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But for all the faith-filled people who want to see God do amazing things in your life, starting from tomorrow, say this. Say, I'm looking forward to it. Say, I'm moving onward. I'm moving forward. I'm expecting God to do great things in my life this year. Someone said, how can you say that? You don't even know what it is yet. Let me tell you, God's promise doesn't concern what is. God told them, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. I'm with you wherever, whatever, whoever. I'm with you wherever you go. Amen. Is that true for us today? God said to Joshua, I'm with you wherever you go. Let me tell you right now the key. If you know God is with you, that's everything you need. Is God with us? Yes. Hebrews 13 verse 5 in the New Testament. It says, God Himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down. God said it three times. I will not, I will not, I will not in any way leave you, forsake you, leave you helpless. Romans 8 verse 31 says, if God is determined to stand with us, tell me who then could ever stand against us. Say, if God is standing with me, who can stand against me? What can stand against me? You see, I may have some challenges in 2021. In fact, I'm expecting I will probably face some challenges. But can I tell you something? I'm looking forward to it. What? Because my challenge is going to give my God an opportunity to show off on my behalf. I'm looking forward to see what God's going to do. Amen. High five somebody. Say, I'm looking forward to it. Say, I know God's got good plans for me in 2021. I know God's got good plans for me. You say, Pastor Steve, how do you know that? Because Jeremiah 29 verse 11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for good, not for evil. They are plans to prosper you and not harm you. They are plans to give you hope in the future. Let me tell you, God's plan for you is for good, is to prosper you, is to give you hope, and is to give you a future. That's God's plan for you. And faith believes God's promise. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The faith is the evidence of things not seen. You see, you can't exercise faith until you have some hope. Faith is what gives substance to your hope. You've got to have hope, and then you can put your faith towards your hope. See, what I hope for is out there ahead of me. Whatever is behind me wasn't meant to go with me into this next season. I'm looking forward to what God is about to do. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, so we must let go of every wound. Some Bibles say every weight that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has already been marked out before us. We look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and leads us forward. Can I tell you what? Jesus always leads you forward. Faith always is moving forward. We keep our gaze fastened on Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this: because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing you, that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and he now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. So consider carefully how Jesus faced such intense opposition from sinners who oppose their own souls, so that you won't be worn down and cave in under life's pressures. See, the Bible says that we got to fix our eyes and keep our eyes on Jesus. He's the author and he is the finisher of your faith. And whatever is ahead of me, let me tell you, whatever's ahead of me, he wrote it. The path has already been mapped out. I trust the next chapter because I know the author. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. I want to see how this is going to turn out. I'm moving onward. I'm moving forward. I'm looking at Jesus. I'm not looking at my troubles. I'm keeping my eyes on him. Can you say amen? Amen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18, so we don't look at the troubles that we can see now, but rather we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen, for the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Let me tell you, do you know how Jesus crossed over? He endured the cross, the Bible says, for the joy of knowing you. In fact, the New King James Version, it says, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. See, the Bible says Jesus endured the cross because he was looking at the joy that was set before him. You see, don't let what's behind you make you miss what's before you. Are you hearing me today? I'm sure some of those Israelites, they must have thought, man, I wish we could get back those 40 years we wasted wandering around the wilderness. But you know what? I can't look back at those 40 years. Because let me tell you, they were supposed to take the promised land 40 years previously with Moses, but they kept looking back at Egypt and they wouldn't believe what God said about them. And the Bible says in Psalm 78, they didn't really believe the promises of God. They refused to trust him and they refused to move forward in faith. The reason they didn't enter the promised land, they kept looking back instead of looking forward. I tell you something about faith. Faith is always looking forward. Faith is always moving forward. And moving forward in faith. Give your faith something to look forward to this year. And don't let it just be heaven when you die. Jesus taught us how to pray in Matthew 6. He said, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. My faith is looking forward, not until one day when we get out of here, but to see what God's going to do before we leave. My faith's looking forward to the things God's going to do. I know there's going to be some unexpected challenges this year. There may be some things this year that, you know, I wouldn't choose to cross over. But I can't choose every river that I'm going to have to cross this year. But I do get to choose what I'm carrying when I cross over it. And I'm not going to carry the baggage of last year. I am moving forward. There are some things you can't carry into this year if you want to cross over into the new one. You can't carry what happened in the past. My faith is looking forward. God told them that the ark, which contained God's presence, had to go before them. And they had to follow that. If they kept their eyes on the ark that's out there in the distance in front of them and not get stuck right here and be satisfied to just know God on this level, but look out beyond and say, where next, God? I need a faith that is continually moving forward. Can you say amen? Amen. Then God says, I'll do amazing things. But I need to sanctify myself. That's what Joshua told the people. If you will sanctify yourself, God will do amazing things. Joshua 3:5, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now the word sanctify, it means to consecrate yourself. It means to dedicate yourself. It means to be set apart. And it also means to purify, to be free from sin. And other translations use those words, like the New International Version says, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things. The New Living Bible says, purify yourself. Now, remember the scripture we started out with today in Job 17, verse 9? It says, the righteous shall move onward and forward, and those with what? This is not a trick question here. Those with pure hearts, it's on the screen right there, shall become stronger and stronger. Those with pure hearts. Joshua said, sanctify yourself, purify yourself. Job said, those with pure hearts become stronger and stronger. If you want to see God do amazing things for you in 2021, then I want to encourage you to sanctify yourself, to dedicate yourself, to consecrate yourself unto the Lord, to purify yourself. Let me tell you, one of the best ways that I know of purifying yourself and dedicating yourself, one of the best ways is by fasting and praying. Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. Hallelujah. It's by fasting and praying. The Bible is full of examples of people who saw supernatural breakthroughs, supernatural victories when they fasted and prayed. Fasting brings supernatural victories. When King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah were attacked by three armies in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it was such a great army that Jehoshaphat the king was terrified. And what did he do? The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 20 verse 3, shaken, Jehoshaphat prayed. He went to God for help and he ordered a nationwide fast. The country of Judah united in seeking God's help. They came from all the cities of Judah to pray to God. Now, what happened? He called the whole country to fast and pray. What could happen in America if every American said, I'm going to fast and pray and seek God in 2021? What happened? The Spirit of the Lord came upon a young man by the name of Jehaziel, and the Lord began to speak through him. And the Lord said, do not be afraid of afraid of this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but the battle is God's. Stand still and watch the Lord's victory today. And Jehoshaphat, he put singers out in front of the army, and they went into the battle singing, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. The Bible says the moment they began to sing, the enemy became confused. The enemy started fighting amongst themselves. They destroyed one another. The enemy completely destroyed themselves. There wasn't one of the enemy left alive. They destroyed themselves, and the people of Judah didn't even have to lift the sword. God gave them victory. Fasting brings supernatural victories. Fasting brings supernatural favor. When Esther found out about Haman's plot to kill all the Jewish people, she was the queen. She decided to go to the king about it. But before she did, she sent a message to her cousin Mordecai in Esther 4:16. She said, go and gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, then I perish. What happened? She fasted and prayed. She called all the Jewish people, fast and pray for me. She went to the king. God gave her favor with the king, and she saved the people of Israel. She saved the people. She saved God's people. Fasting releases favor. Fasting releases financial blessing and restoration. Can I tell you, in the book of Joel, they were in financial crisis because the southern kingdom of Judah had been decimated by hordes of locusts, and it resulted in financial hardship. So what did the prophet Joel do? In Joel 1:14, he said, consecrate a fast. Call a fast, a sacred assembly. Gather all the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and let's cry out to God. That's what we need to do in America. Be crying out to God. And it says in Joel chapter 2, the Lord will reply, look, I'm sending you grain and new wine and olive oil enough to fully satisfy your needs. I will drive away these armies from the north. I'll send them into the parched wastelands. Those in the front will be driven into the Dead Sea, and those at the rear into the Mediterranean. Do not be afraid, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Don't be afraid, you animals of the field, for the wilderness pastures will soon be green. The trees will again be filled with fruit. Fig trees and grapevines will be loaded down once more. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for the rain he sends demonstrates his faithfulness. Once more the autumn rains will come, as well as the rains of spring, and the threshing floors again will be piled high with grain, and the presses will overflow with new wine and with olive oil. And the Lord says, I will give you back what you lost to the swarming locust. I will restore to you the years that the locust has stolen, and once again you will have all the food you want, and you will praise the Lord your God who does these miracles for you. Can you say amen? The Lord has worked these wonders for you. Let me tell you, God did a financial miracle for them. Joel 3 verse 1 says, at that time when I restore the prosperity of Judah and Jerusalem, God brought financial restoration. Because why? They fasted and prayed. Fasting releases financial blessing and restoration in your life. Jesus knew the power of fasting. He was launched into his ministry after 40 days of fasting and prayer. The scripture says in Luke chapter 4, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time, and he became very hungry. And it says in verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. Jesus was launched into his ministry after he spent 40 days in fasting and prayer. Jesus himself said that there are some breakthroughs that happen only because of fasting and prayer. One time Jesus found his disciples. They were surrounded by a crowd of people. Some of the religious leaders were arguing with them. And Jesus asked, what's going on? And one of the crowd said, I brought my son to your disciples. I brought my son to you to heal him. I brought him to your disciples. He's possessed by an evil spirit. And whenever this evil spirit seizes him, he falls down, he foams at the mouth, he grinds his teeth, he becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, but they couldn't do it. And Jesus commanded the spirit to come out, and the boy was immediately set free. And afterwards, the disciples asked Jesus, and they said, why couldn't we cast it out? And in Mark 9, verse 29, Jesus answered, he said, this type of powerful spirit can only be cast out by fasting and prayer. Do you know there are some breakthroughs that don't happen without fasting and prayer? I said there are some breakthroughs that do not happen without fasting and prayer. Amen. There are some things that only happen through fasting and prayer. We're going to start out this year with 21 days of fasting and prayer. We're going to start out 2021 from January the 11th going through to January 31st. That's 21 days of fasting and prayer. And I want to encourage you to join with us. I want to encourage you, if you're watching this, wherever you may be, join with us around all the world. Let's fast and pray and seek God for restoration and breakthroughs and victories and favor this year. Can you say amen? Let me tell you, Jesus expects you to fast. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 2, Jesus said, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the street to be honored by others. I tell you, they've received their reward in full. Jesus didn't say, if you give. Jesus said, when you give. In verse 5, he said, when you pray. He didn't say, if you pray. He said, when you pray. In verse 16, he said, when you fast. Not if you fast. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. He said, verse 17 for me, please. He said, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, and so it won't be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. Do you know that there are rewards that come from fasting and prayer? Fasting brings rewards. Jesus didn't say if you fast. He said when you fast. There, he talked about when you give, when you fast, when you pray. Three tenets of a Christian life: praying, giving, and fasting. Just like God expects us to give, expects us to pray, he also expects us to fast. Just like prayer and giving is a regular practice in our Christian life as Jesus followers, so fasting should be. Why does Jesus want us to fast? Because he knows the benefits of fasting. He knows the power of fasting. He knows that fasting brings breakthroughs. He knows that fasting brings us closer to God. It makes us more aware of spiritual things. Fasting makes us more sensitive to God's voice speaking to us. Fasting helps you to know God's will. Fasting helps you to put your flesh under control. Fasting helps you to break addictions and breaks bondages. Fasting releases God's anointing, God's favor, and God's blessing. Fasting is the secret to breakthroughs, open doors, miracles, provision, favor. If you want to access the supernatural realm and walk in spiritual power and authority, you must fast and pray, because some breakthroughs don't happen without fasting and prayer. Can you say amen, somebody? If you want to just live an ordinary, powerless life, then eat up. Eat up, baby. But if you want to see supernatural breakthroughs in your life, then fasting is essential. Because let me tell you, if Jesus, the Son of God, had to consecrate himself with fasting and prayer, how can we, who were not born of a virgin, who were not conceived by the Holy Spirit, who did not live, we do not live a sinless life, how can we, just regular people, saved by God's grace, think we don't need to fast? I don't need to fast, Pastor Steve. If Jesus needed to fast and Moses needed to fast, listen to me, baby. You need to fast and pray, because there are some things that won't happen in your life until you do. Can you say amen, somebody? I believe it, man. If Jesus had to consecrate himself with fasting and prayer to see what he saw, how can we expect to see what he saw without doing what he did? Jesus said in Luke 6:40, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Let me tell you right now, as much as I don't like fasting and I like eating, if Jesus fasted and he told me that I should, then I'm going to fast, because I want everything God has for my life, and I'm willing to sacrifice some meals to see breakthroughs. How about you? Now listen, there's different ways to fast. There's a total fast where you just drink only water. There's a liquid fast, just liquid. There's the Daniel fast, which is what we're going to be doing, and a lot of you, I'm hoping, will be doing. The Daniel fast is found in Daniel chapter 10, verse 2. It says, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 full weeks. That's talking about fasting. He says, I ate no pleasant food, no meat nor wine came into my mouth. Daniel had been fasting, mourning 21 days. Sometimes the Bible uses the word mourning, talking about fasting. Jesus himself did that in Matthew 9, verse 14. The disciples of John came to him. They said, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come and the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Can you see, like, mourning and fasting is used interchangeably? Because sometimes when you're fasting, it almost feels like you're mourning. The victory comes after the fast. Daniel's fasting 21 days. He says he ate no pleasant food, no meat, no wine. It's called the Daniel fast. In the New Living Bible, it says, all that time I'd eaten no rich food. The Living Bible says, of course I went without desserts. And the Amplified Bible says, I ate no tasty food. The Daniel fast, basically, is no meat, no alcohol, no sugar, no processed foods. It's really vegetables, fruits, grains. You can find a lot of information on the internet about the Daniel fast. You can find a lot of information about it. Some people start out with a total fast, just water, for a few days, and then they switch into the Daniel fast. Many doctors and scientists today are talking about the health benefits of fasting. This has become quite popular now. It's called you have the keto diet and intermittent fasting. I mean, it's becoming quite popular today that they've proven that there are actually physical benefits to fasting. That doesn't surprise me. Jesus would never tell us to do something that would be bad for us. It doesn't surprise me there are health benefits. Can I tell you, the spiritual benefits are far greater than the health benefits. Now, you know, I ate a lot too much over Christmas time, and I put on a couple of pounds, and I'm kind of disgusted in myself, and I've just eaten and eaten, and I don't know about you, but I'm ready. I am ready to shed those pounds. I got one more week. But And you know, I like the idea of losing a couple of pounds, and but I am far more excited about what the spiritual breakthroughs and benefits that happen in my life. See, because after Daniel fasted for 21 days, an angel appeared to him in verse 10. And the angel said, "Don't be frightened, Daniel, for your request has been heard in heaven, and what was answered the very first day you began to fast." The very first day you begin to pray and fast before the Lord and ask for understanding, and that day I was sent to meet you. But for 21 days, the mighty evil spirit who overrules the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels of the heavenly army, came to help me so that I was able to, say it, I was able to, shout it out, I was able to break through these spirit rulers. Now, the Bible says there was a demonic evil spirit that tried to block Daniel's answer to prayer for 21 days. But because he continued to fast and pray, that blockage was broken and he had a breakthrough. Let me tell you, there are some breakthroughs that happen when you fast and pray. You see, things that have been blocked will be released in the name of Jesus. Fasting destroys demonic forces who are trying to block God's will for my life. What if Daniel had quit after 7 days? What if you quit fasting and praying? You see, it's not that you have to convince God to answer you. If there weren't any demons, the fast wouldn't be necessary. Fasting is to unleash breakthrough power. It's to break through things that are hindering you from the plan of God and from the purpose of God. Fasting looses bonds of wickedness and breaks chains of oppression. Isaiah 58 is the great fasting chapter of the Bible. It's more than 20 blessings that it talks about that come from fasting. Isaiah 58 verse 6, it says, "Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke?" Fasting breaks yokes in your life. The Passion Bible says, "To remove the sinful chains, to tear away the ropes of burdensome yoke, to set free the oppressed and to break every burdensome yoke." Things that are holding you back, fasting and prayer breaks those, brings you breakthroughs. It'll set you free from any wickedness, any addiction that you've been struggling with. It'll break that yoke. It'll bring freedom in your life. You'll come out of this fast, holy and free, set apart for the work of God, sin having no power over you. Isaiah 58 is the great fasting chapter of the Bible. It reveals many blessings for fasting. It talks about healing that will come quickly, guidance that will come, protection, strength, success, quick answers to prayer, provision, restoration. Let me tell you, powerful things I believe are going to happen this year as we fast and pray. I believe we're going to see God's power break forth in our lives, in our family, in our church, in our city, across our nation, in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, people fail in life and miss God's best because their spirit is in subjection to their body and their body is ruling them. There's a lot of Christians, they intended to come to church today. They intended to be here, but their body, when they woke up this morning, their body said, "I don't want to go to church today." And so they let their body make their decisions. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1, "I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as unto babes in Christ." The Passion Bible says, "I found it impossible to speak to you as those who are spiritually mature, because you are still dominated by the mindset of the flesh." And the Amplified Bible says, "You're men of the flesh in whom the carnal nature predominates." You see, you cannot grow to spiritual maturity if you allow your body to rule you the rest of your life. You can't follow the spirit and the flesh at the same time. There is a battle between the spirit and the flesh. People want to live holy in their heart, in their spirit, but their body wants to do things that are wrong. Whatever dog you feed the most is the dog that's going to win. You ever heard that before? Imagine there's two dogs in a fight. Picture your spirit man as one dog and your flesh as another dog. Which dog wins the fight? Whatever dog you feed the most, that's which one's going to win the fight. And fasting is starving the dog of the flesh and feeding the dog of the spirit. When you fast and pray, you starve that dog of the flesh and you feed the dog of the spirit. See, when there's a conflict between your spirit and your flesh, the spirit man will be mighty and the flesh will be weak. And often we blame the devil for everything, but the devil's been defeated. The only enemy you got to defeat is the one that looks at you in the mirror every morning. If you will learn to keep your body under subjection to your spirit, you will win in life. You will grow to maturity. And let me tell you, fasting and prayers are one of the best ways I know of bringing your body into subjection. Fasting releases and it moves you forward into your destiny. As I close this morning, I want to read Acts 13, verse 1. It says, in the church of Antioch, there were a number of prophets and teachers of the word, including Barnabas, Simeon from Niger, Lucius the Libyan, Manian, and Saul. And while they were worshiping before the Lord in prayer and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, I have called Barnabas and Saul to do an important work for me. Now release them to go and fulfill it. So after they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them off. Do you know that Jesus fasted for 40 days before moving forward into his ministry? Do you know Moses fasted 40 days on Mount Sinai before receiving the Ten Commandments? The Apostle Paul fasted 3 days right after his conversion on the road to Damascus. Another time he fasted 14 days when he was on a ship being taken to Rome. Fasting releases you into God's destiny. Fasting moves you onward and it moves you forward. Let me tell you, if you want to have what they had, you got to be willing to do what they did. God is a God of cause and effect. Life is cause and effect. Things don't just happen. Actions produce results. Now, there's different lengths of fasting in the Bible. There's anywhere between 1 day and up to 40 days. We see fasts of 1 day, 3 days, 7 days, 14 days, 21 days, 40 days. The main thing is that you make a sacrifice before the Lord. The bigger the sacrifice, the bigger the reward. There's so much great teaching on fasting today. I would encourage you, while you're fasting and praying, I mean, you can watch Jensen Franklin's got some great teaching on fasting. Go and read and study on it. But here's what's really important. Don't just fast. Make sure you pray. Make sure you pray. Because if you don't pray, you're kind of only getting half of it. You got to be, the reason I'm fasting is so I can pray and put my attention on the things of God. You want to pray, you want to read your Bible. Read your Bible. Amen. Get into the Word of God. Watch sermons. I mean, we live in a day where you can watch anybody you want. Get on YouTube, you can watch anybody you want. That's what we're going to do. We're going to watch different preaching sermons where there's some good Christian movies we want to watch. One you were telling me about, I think it's called The Gospel of John. And we're going to read God's Word and we're going to listen to preaching for the next 21 days, starting January 11th, 21 days. We're going to seek after God. Amen. Now, I thank God for everybody who made New Year resolutions. You know, I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to start going to the gym. I'm going to start eating healthy. But hey, how about we resolve to get closer to God? How about we resolve to grow spiritually, to move onward, to move forward by seeking God in fasting and prayer? Amen? I really believe what you do at the beginning of the year sets the tone for the rest of the year. I really believe what you do at the beginning of the year sets the tone for the rest of the year. You start out the year fasting and praying and seeking God, you're going to see breakthroughs throughout this whole year. I'm asking you today, who is ready? Who is ready to move into 2021? Who is ready to move onward? Who is ready to move forward? Who says, Pastor Steve, I'm going to join you? Now, I'm not saying you have to fast for 21 days, but I'm saying fast even if it's just one day. I'm saying join us. Maybe you fast a day or 3 days or 7 days. Or I tell you right now, the Daniel fast, it's pretty amazing. When I've done the Daniel fast, and you got to understand, I'm a meat and potatoes guy. I eat meat every day and potatoes every day, and I eat no vegetables. That produced this, no vegetables. So for me, to fast is a big deal. I got to basically change my entire diet. But let me tell you right now. There you go. It's worth it. I'm calling you today. I'm asking you today not just for yourself, for your family, for our nation, for the kingdom of God. I'm asking you to join us and say, Pastor Steve, starting January 11th, I'm going to fast and pray. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to go after God. I promise you, if you do this, you are going to experience wondrous things this year. Sudden good breaks. You're going to grow spiritually like never before. You're going to destroy demonic forces that have been blocking your destiny. You're going to be propelled into the no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined realm of blessing of God. You're going to put your body under the control of your spirit. And every band of wickedness and addiction that's holding you back is going to be loosed in the name of Jesus. The fire of the Holy Spirit is going to be ignited in your life, and God's going to pour His Spirit upon you, and this year is going to drip with abundance for you. Amen. I was reading this, and I'm kind of done, but as I was, you know, God keeps talking to me. I mean, I finished my sermon, I sent my notes in, I'm sitting on my couch last night, and the Lord's just, I'm too late, I sent my notes already. But this scripture came to me, Psalm 119, verse 9. From the New Living Bible, it says, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. The Passion Bible says, how can a young man stay pure? Only by living in the Word of God and walking in its truth. You know, the Bible says if you will purify your heart, you'll get stronger and stronger. You move onward and forward. Joshua said, you sanctify yourself, purify yourself. You're going to see God do amazing things. You know how you live pure? By living by God's Word. By just doing your best to do what the Word of God says. Now, it's hard to do what the Word of God says if you never read it. I'm going to do what the Bible says. What does it say now? Every time I read the Bible, I get instruction. Every time. I sat on my, last night, Jewel was taking a nap and Mike was doing something. I was by myself. I was watching TV. I turned on the TV, started reading the Bible, 7 chapters. And God just started talking. Every time I read the Bible, God gives me that direction. I want to encourage you to read the Bible, pray, worship Him, watch sermons, and this next 21 days, starting January 11th, is going to be a turning point in Jesus' name. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm moving onward. Tell him I'm moving forward. We're moving forward, not going back. Amen. Bow your heads. I want to pray for you, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, I thank you for every person here today. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in their life. I thank you, Lord, that not one person sat here by accident today, but they're here by your divine hand. And I thank you, Lord, for the great things you're going to do in 2021. I pray for each and every person, Lord, today. I thank you that you guide them. I thank you, Lord, that goodness and your goodness and mercy follow them. I thank you, Lord, that you are with them wherever they go. You will never, never, never leave them, forsake them, let them down in Jesus' name. Listen, why do you got your head bowed? Why do you got your eye closed? We never, ever close a service without giving people an opportunity to make sure that everything is right, everything is well between them and God. If you're not sure where you stand with the Lord today, I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say, Pastor Steve, I know if I died today, I know I'd go to heaven. I know that all is right and well between me and God. Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure. I believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. The Bible says the demons believe in God and they tremble. No. What I'm asking you is if you died today, are you absolutely sure that you would go to heaven? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can be sure about that. You can walk out of here today. You can know that all is right between you and God. You can know that every mistake or sin that you ever committed, that it's forgiven and washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. Dear friend, there, heaven is real. There's a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up, but right where you're sitting, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure that all is right, all is well between me and the Lord. If I when I die, I want to be sure. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that is you, I'm going to ask you quickly right now, just slip your hand up high. Just lift up your hand. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer. Thank you so much. God bless you. Just lift up your hand high. Anybody else? All right. I want everyone who raised your hand, please say this prayer with me. In fact, church, can we all please say this prayer? The scripture says in Romans 10 in verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you will be saved. So say this with me, everybody. Say, thank you, Lord, that you love me so much that you sent your son, Jesus, to come to this earth for me, to die on a cross for me, to shed his blood for me. Lord, you said that if I believe Jesus has been raised from the dead, if I confess Jesus is my Lord, you said I will be saved. I do this today. I believe in my heart, Jesus, you're alive. You're the Son of God. And I surrender my life to you. Say this, say, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to live for you. And I thank you that because I have received you, I am now saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own father. I'm your very own child. Say, heaven is my home, and my name is written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And everybody said amen. Give the Lord thanks and praise today. Come on, rejoice. Give him praise today. Clap your hands today. Put those hands together. I've got to teach you how to clap, man. Just pretend you had a football game. That's all. When we welcome first-time visitors, the applause should be thunderous. Yeah. It should not be.
And how about an altar call?
It should be thunderous. Altar call, thunderous, man.
You know, I'm so glad that you know, sometimes even if we don't see new faces, Pastor Steve always prays a prayer of salvation, because you just never know. I had someone texting me this morning, one of our members, and she said that her sister's father-in-law had just gone into a coma. And he was in hospice, and she's like, "Oh, pray with me." She's like, "Oh, he needs one more chance. He needs one more chance." But he passed away in the night. And she said, "I'm not sure of his salvation." Now, when we sit here and we give this prayer, sometimes people don't raise their hand. But when you believe it, and then you say it with your mouth, that's salvation right there. Amen? So I'm glad you do that, Pastor Steve. Praise God. Well, now it's the time in the service where we have the opportunity to give. And when we give, when we pray, when we fast, so we, as believers, we do give. And I always like to just take a scripture, and being the beginning of the year, you know, we're all thinking about areas of our life that we want to improve on. Physical, we always think of that first. Man, I'm going to the gym. I'm going to lose weight, right? Our mental, we think about ways that we want to further our education, or we're going to put some more focus, or whatever it is mentally. And then spiritually, we think about fasting and praying, but studying our Bible a little more. I'm doing something this month that's like a lot of chapters, but I'm doing it because it's the beginning of the year and I'm stretching myself spiritually. But now I'm listening. Yeah, I'm doing something that's called Shred, and it's going through the entire Bible in 31 days. But it means it's like 40 chapters a day. So it's a lot. And I'm not saying that for any applause, because I haven't made it 31 days yet. No, don't even do. Let's see if I make it through 31 days. anyway, back on the subject. I want to just, I want to challenge us. God challenges us in the area of our finances. So now, no matter what last year was, let's talk about what God says. Malachi 3 verse 10, it says, "I am the Lord all-powerful." So God's speaking to us, right? He says, "I challenge you to put me to the test. Bring the entire 10% into the storehouse so that there will be food in my house." It's very clear, right? So I'm going to give you three quick Bible facts about the tithe. I wasn't brought up in church. Tithe, I don't know what that word means. It's an old-fashioned word. It just means, it's an old English word, it means the tenth. So the tithe is simply 10% of whatever I get, God says, bring it to me, right? And you know what I like about it is that it levels the playing field. Because I could, if I earned $100 this week and you earned $100,000 this week, the tithe is still 10%, right? And so it's even right across the board. And so that's the first point. A tithe is 10%. Says it right there. Second point is, where is the tithe given? The Bible says in there, in that verse, it's given to the storehouse, which is the local church where you get fed. When you eat at a restaurant, if I go and eat at Duffy's after church, I'm not going to go down to Chili's and pay the bill there because I feel sorry for them, because they don't look like they got as many customers as Duffy's. I give my tithe where I get spiritual food. Amen. Simple as that. You know, we got somebody that's doing a little debate on Facebook and doesn't like what the church, thinks the church should do something different with his tithe. And so he says, I think I'll choose where I give it. The Bible says, give it to the storehouse. Let them be answerable before God as to what gets done with it, right? It's to come to the storehouse so that there will be spiritual food. The only reason these doors are open is because people have been faithful to tithe to the house of God. Amen? And so you don't divide it up. You don't give a little bit to your favorite TV evangelist or to your sick aunt. Or I'm just making it very clear what the Bible says, right? So the first point is it's 10%. Second point is it's given to the local church where you get fed. And thirdly, when is it given? It's given first. It's given first, off the gross. You don't, you know, it's like you pay your taxes. You don't pay your tax. You say, well, I'm not going to pay as much tax this month because I spent a lot on food and I had extra. No, you pay it off the top. And God says, you treat your governors better than you treat me. Right? That's in Malachi earlier on, before chapter 3. He says, treat me better than you treat your governors. So God wants to be first. In fact, that's what the tithe is all about. Right? It's every dollar I get, the first 10 cents is God's. You can ask my kids, we told them, you get $10 given to you for your birthday, a dollar of that is God's. It's God's, off the top. And the sooner you settle it in your heart, the easier it is. Sometimes when you talk about money, it hits a nerve. If it hits a nerve with you, maybe you should just meditate on this a little bit, because it's got to get to the point where what's God's is God's. Amen? First, Proverbs 3 verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits. It's the first of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Deuteronomy 14 says, the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your life. Say, the purpose of tithing is to teach me to always put God first in my life. So God wants to be first. He issues a tithe challenge to us, but thankfully he adds a blessing on the end of it. We go back to the first verse I read, Malachi. It says, I challenge you to bring the entire 10% into the storehouse so there will be food in my house. Then I will open the windows of heaven and I will flood you with blessing after blessing. Come on, we want to take God at his word. He's like, you do this, just watch what I'll do for you. He says in verse 11, I will also stop the locusts from destroying your crops and keeping your vineyards from producing. So we want God's blessing on our finances. Amen. You don't know what comes in the future, but I tell you what, if you've got God's blessing on you, then you can shake it off and you move on and the blessing of God still rests on you, right? And at the end of the day, we may face challenges, but at the end of the day, he says, you're going to come out on top. Praise God. Come on up. Well, there's envelopes right there in the
seat. You're
seat.
Preaching
there's,
good today.
There's Varia.
You should have preached the whole service today. You're preaching good today. Let me tell you right now, you never know what God can do. We have a lady. Somebody contacted me this week and said, I was sitting near someone in church and the Lord put in my heart to give them, to help them. Could you find out what they need? And I found out, and it turned out the lady said, well, I needed money for groceries, and I need money for this. And so I told the person who contacted me, and they said, well, please tell them I'm going to give them $1,000. You could have someone sitting near you that the Lord speaks to today to help you. You never know what can happen when you come to church. You never know what can happen. Do you? So praise the Lord. Let's pray. Are we going to pray?
Pray, and then just prepare that. There's various ways to give. It's right up on the screen here. It's so simple.
If you're watching online, just
go ahead and give. It's the first time you give on our app or on our website, the first time you do it, there's a one-time setup. Like, you just have to enter your information once. After that, it's a real simple process.
Pray over the giving.
You do it.
I want to thank everyone. All of you being so faithful to give last year, praise God.
Oh,
we are so grateful. We came through 2020. Amen. We're moving ahead in 2021. And all those who gave in the heart for the house offering. Father, I thank you for all our faithful givers and tithers, Lord. You said that when we tithe, you'd open the windows of heaven and you'd pour blessing upon us and you would rebuke the devourer, Father. I thank you right now for opening the windows of heaven, pouring blessing on your people. Thank you, Lord, that as we give, you said it will be given and multiplied back to us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, thank you for blessing every giver, every tither. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, I am, babe. I'm going to do it right now. Thank you. So I want to say thank you to all of our volunteers, our servant leaders who serve today, our media team, our ushers, our greeters, our kids' church teachers. Would you give them a big round of applause? Let them know we really appreciate you. Thank you so much. And then lastly, I want to let you know as we get ready to go today that we have Prophet Ed Trout is going to be with us on the 16th and 17th of January. Now, just keep up the first slide. Saturday, the 16th, we are having a prophetic seminar from 9 a.m. to 12:30. It is going to be two sessions with a half an hour break. Now, I have known Prophet Ed Trout for about 30 years now, close on 30 years, known him a long time. He has an amazing ministry, prophesies with such accuracy. Amazing. I mean, I can pull people out right here and tell you who people here were prophesied and how it already came to pass. First day Chris walked into the church, we had Prophet Ed Trout. He lined you and your whole family up and prophesied. Boom, boom. Read your mail. Then we had Miguel. When last time that Prophet Ed Trout was here, he said to Miguel, your days of driving the truck, because he works for Pepsi, he drives those big trucks, coming to an end. And sure enough, he just got promoted. He's not driving anymore. He's management. So I want to really encourage you to make the time to join us for the prophetic seminar on Saturday, January 16th. Ed's, of course, you know, if we have Ed usually on a Sunday, he preaches 45 minutes. He prophesies and preaches in 45, 50 minutes. There's only a few people he can prophesy to. We're going to have Ed here for like 5 hours. Because we're going to have him 3 hours on Saturday. Then we're going to do Sunday morning on January 17th and Sunday evening, 6 p.m. So we got Sunday, two services, and Saturday. Because I want to give you the opportunity. I'd love for every one of you to get a word from the Lord for Ed. And if you come to all those things, I guarantee you, you will. Now, don't slip in here to the last service and expect to get prophesied over. Come to all those services and you'll get prophesied over. I will guarantee it. Come on, stand up with us. Tell your neighbor, we're moving onward. We're moving forward. I'm excited about 2021. We'll see you next Sunday. God bless you, everybody. We love you. We'll see you next time.
You make all things new. Yes, you.